You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You are listening to 95BFM, and as per every Tuesday, we are going to do the International Desk with myself. And we're going to talk about Greece today. A wind of change is actually about to blow over Greece. After 4 years of being governed by a coalition of left and far left parties, Greeks have decided to elect the opposition in a snap general election that took place on Sunday. The centre-right party New Democracy scored 40% of the votes ahead of previous governing party Syriza, which only reached 31%. And the leader of New Democracy, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, is about to be sworn in as Greece's new prime minister. Mitsotakis is indeed going to oust popular figure and now former Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras, who has been largely credited for driving Greece out of the colossal economic crisis it was engulfed in from 2009 onwards. His party Syriza, originally on the fringes of the political landscape, came to power in January 2015 amid a growing discontent of the population. Tsipras promised to end austerity policies then imposed by the European Union and the International Monetary Fund, the country's bailout creditors. It all started 10 years ago when Greece started feeling the effects of the global financial crisis of the year 2007 and 2008. The Greek economic crisis was mainly triggered by the dangerously high amount of sovereign debt, meaning the amount of money a country owes to creditors. In Greece's case, the EU and the IMF. Basically, Greece spent more money than it made, and for a while borrowed, but that led its budget deficit to become more than 15% superior to the country's GDP. And as a point of comparison, member states of the European Union are supposedly required to keep their budget deficit below 3% of the GDP. So in 2010, Greece announced that it would most likely not be able to pay off its debt, hoping the EU would forget it, but at the same time threatening the viability of the Eurozone. And to avoid that situation, the European Union and various private investors, such as banks, lent money to Greece, and a lot of it, about 320 billion euros, over the course of 8 years, so it could continue making payments and avoid default. The bailout would come at a high price, though. Greece would have to apply strict austerity measures. One of the harshest ones was a reform of the pension system, which meant that retired Greeks would be given less money, while working Greeks would actually have to contribute more. And the second massive reform was the increase of a multitude of taxes, which led to a rise of unemployment and a record high rate of youth unemployment of 60%. These measures were also combined with a global lowering of wages, and Greece was requested to sell a lot of its nationalised assets, which certainly cost money in wages, but also constituted the only alternative in revenue to taxes. In the following years, Greece's economy both suffered and slightly recovered, but the austerity measures took their toll on the Greek people. And that's when Alexis Tsipras and Syriza come in the limelight. Tsipras based his entire campaign against the drastic measures and only 6 months into being prime minister, announced a referendum on austerity, promising that a no vote would give his country more leverage in future negotiations. A majority of Greeks voted no, 60% of them, creating global fear and causing banks to actually cap the allowance on withdrawals. But despite the no vote, the Greek parliament, with its Syriza majority, passed new austerity measures and agreed to a new bailout plan. Some called it pragmatism, others preferred the word treason. Zoe Konstantopoulou, former Syriza member who served as Speaker of the Hellenic Parliament, probably best embodies the disappointment that followed. For 4 years now, she's been very vocal against Tsipras and his reversal. When the referendum was passed in 2015, she refused to follow her party's directions and voted against further austerity measures. But Tsipras quickly dissolved the parliament and she was out. The radical left in government took a fairly similar path to what would have been expected of a centrist or right-wing party, and Tsipras agreed to cut pensions, broaden the tax base and privatise more companies. Many supporters have become heavily disillusioned, and Syriza's base is shrinking. The European elections of last May was the first clear sign. the left-wing coalition party only arrived second, 10 points behind New Democracy, maybe foreshadowing in retrospect Sunday's election results and forcing the snap election. But was it even a left-wing coalition anymore? Tsipras' ministerial cabinet is made out of politicians from a myriad of parties, including right-wing and liberal. Tsipras gained praises from the same neoliberals throughout Europe that had labelled him a populist for 5 years. The bailout program ended on August 20th, 2018. What that means is that Greece will not be given any more money. But the country is not out of the crisis state, and repayments spread out until August 2060. Greece still has the highest youth unemployment rate in the European Union, recorded at 40% in January this year, and the global unemployment rate has maybe slowly decreased. Syriza recently boosted the minimum wage, but it all seems too little too late. The party campaigned on promises of tax relief for individuals and businesses and the creation of 500,000 new jobs within 4 years. But it doesn't seem to be enough to have convinced voters. Greeks offered their support to New Democracy, who promised a more drastic relief with bigger tax cuts and bigger increase of wages. And while the rest of Europe is experiencing a split in traditional politics and a massive rejection of the establishment in favour of fringe parties, Greece is doing the exact opposite. New Democracy leader Kyriakos Mitsotakis is the son of one of Greece's former prime minister. He was educated at Harvard and Stanford universities, and he did a brief stint as a financial analyst and consultant. The party itself is one of the two major traditional parties in Greece's modern history. It was in power between 2004 and 2009, and then again in 2011, and actively took part in both the demise and the attempt at saving the country. But the election of New Democracy and the return of dynasty politics in Greece is seen as actually just a return to normality in the country after a highly troubled decade. Is the 2019 New Democracy different from that of 10 years ago? As Syriza's discourse moved more and more towards the centre, to what New Democracy has advocated for so long, it had to find ways to stand out, and so it used the migrant crisis in Greece and the decades-long conflict with the Republic of Macedonia over the use of the name as points of difference again, and it seems to have worked. Because as much as the fallouts of the economic crisis, questions of nationalism and immigration have been at the heart of the recent Greek politics. And that's where Greece turns out not to be so different from the rest of Europe, after all. All right, I don't have a sting to finish this piece, but that was the International Desk talking about Greece. Remember that you can find all of these interviews that you heard throughout the show. You can find them again on the 95BFM website in the BCast section. While it was the break just before the International Desk, I had this phone call from someone who was asking me about this loan scheme that seemed very helpful, and that was the one of Robert Choi that gives interest-free and no-fee loans, and that is Ngā Tānata Microfinance, for anyone out there who is experiencing a very difficult financial situation and could be helped by these guys. So just check out their website. I'm pretty sure they have a phone number, a landline that you can call to get some help. I'll put that in the description of the podcast if you ever make your way there.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/BCasts.